It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running at the middle of the week. The middle of the week, the second week of October is downhill to Friday now. Hump day. Yeah, all of that. But more than anything else, middle of the week here, as we all know, is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed. It is the 10th day of October, 2018, and we have thanks to send out at the beginning of the evening. Thanks to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks also to our buddy of longstanding, Don. And thanks very kindly to Judy in New York, as well as, That's our subscribers. Thank you very much. And thanks to Vanessa in Brooklyn. Thanks, Vanessa. Thanks very kindly indeed for jumping in. Vanessa jumped in right there at the end of things last night, so I can happily announce that instead of having a $500 fundraising goal, it's $475 because we managed to get yes. So that's huge news. Thank you. Thank you very much to our subscribers, as mentioned, and thank you very kindly to Vanessa. It is genuinely appreciated because that's how we keep this all on the air, right? Yes, because there are no ads for Buy Gold Now or, I don't know, hyperbaric olive oil extract capsules that will help you lose weight or any of that stuff. Yeah. Still waiting for another shipment of Alabama sex clams, though. I mean, hard to come by. Really, really are. But it is, it's the middle of the week, downhill to Friday, hump day. Prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sister. And I gotta watch what I, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I gotta watch what I say on the program here, because the little old blue-haired ladies down in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, they hear some of it every now and then. And dadgummit, they heard me talking about having two or three jars of that pre-made roux laying around. And the next thing I know, I'm standing down there in the Fellowship Hall kitchen because there was an outcry, a hue and cry for gumbo for this evening. And so, you know, gumbo, rice, absolutely, little green salad to go with it. And there was much happiness in the Fellowship Hall kitchen and in the Fellowship Hall itself. Of course, the deacons were particularly animated by the appearance of chocolate and lemon meringue pies over on the dessert table. Yeah, not chocolate and lemon together. You know better than that. But there were several lemon meringue pies and several chocolate meringue pies and homemade flaky crust by the little old blue-haired ladies. And the gumbo got gone through. It did. It absolutely did. The deacons went after the horror. And so they trundled their massive bulk up that couple of flights of stairs and went out to the parking lot and took to smoking with the sinners. They were lighting them one off the other because they know they're going to be working tonight. Yeah, the deacons do, because, well, with a $475 fundraising goal, there's probably not going to be a lot of sit down in them. So, then there's me. 3 hours without a smoke, the deacons were hard pressed indeed. But sooner or later, they did get moving, because Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door. She had in hand the trusty cathedral solar-powered cattle prod, and it's been a little rainy today, and it was crackling real good. And they heard that first little pop, and immediately about a dozen cigarettes hit the pavement as they put wings to heel and blew on past Sister Carol, through the vestibule, down past that bowl of desiccating butter mints, down the center aisle. Brethren and sistren, they're sweating, the deacons are, and they're waiting. Because here in a minute, I'm going to call up the minister of music for our offertory hymn. And they'll start passing those heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates with the PayPal button in the bottom. Just press it and keep one eye scrunched open so you don't get a closed head injury when one of those suckers hit you, because they're heavy and they hurt. Just take it, press the button, and pass it, and hopefully we will get through the evening and maybe not have some monumental fundraising goal to be dealing with as we move toward the end of the week. That's right. With every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sistren, I'm going to call the minister of music forward to lead us in our offertory hymn. Brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah! Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hut, sut, Ralston on the rillera, and a brawl of suet. I love you. Just like the one-winged dove sings a song, sounds like it's saying, ooh, baby, ooh, said ooh. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Ponerized Pontiff, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Antagonized, Agnostic, Animated Animist, Munificent Mufti, Bob Kincaid. And this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. From the Cathedral of Common Sense. Hallelujah, glory. I'm calling on you, brethren and sistren, to get up out of your seats and onto your feet. Amen. And scrunch and wiggle and waddle and waggle and come out from betwixt the pews and watch where you with the pews and move without rhythm so your hope glory won't attract the worms and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the hope glory subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. Amen and amen. World's hope without end. Brethren and sistren, we got great tales, great accounts of faith, mountain-moving faith to steady up on this evening. Yes, indeed. Brethren and sistren, you know, as I have noted before, nature abhors a vacuum. Amen, it does. Nature does. And with the largely disappearance of Alex Jones from the radio airwaves and from all the various and sundry streaming platforms where he appears, brethren and sistren, a call has gone out through the evangelical community so that the vacuum he created can be filled. And brethren and sistren, I want to tell you that firefighter prophet Mark Taylor is blazing a trail to pick up where Alex Jones left off. Amen. And amen. You may recall that Mark Taylor and Sparky over in the chat room, brother, you might this may be a little bit rough. I recall you not caring much for Mark Taylor the last time, but Mark, with a hurricane coming ashore, one of the strongest that has ever stricken the Gulf Coast of the United States. Well, Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet, he has an answer.
Talking about the California fires a few weeks ago, and me being a firefighter, you know, these guys were, California's got probably some of the most experienced brush firefighters in the world. And these guys were saying that these fires were exploding and they couldn't control them.
Wow.
And for those guys to use that kind of language, they said they weren't even trying to stop it at the time. They were just trying to get people out of the way. And there's a reason why that's happening, brother. And it's because, again, I encourage people, look up Dane Wigington and, you know, go to his website. There's enough information.
Don't.
And
your brains will leak
there.
Out your ears if you do.
He actually, in one of his 46-minute videos, he verified three or four different things that the Lord had been showing me. But the fires, the reason these fires are so hot out there right now and so great right now when these things burn is because they're not fighting a Class A fire, which is wood and paper products. They're fighting a Class D fire, a metal fire. And why is that? Is because they're spraying the atmosphere with the chemtrails with aluminum oxide.
Oh, okay. I thought it was because the gay California trees were made out of metal or something. At least it's chemtrails. We're used to dealing with chemtrails. I mean, we've been hearing about chemtrails. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the chemtrails turn the leaves into aluminum because he's a firefighter. Got it. Sure. Good. Probably should have issued the hockey puck warning, shouldn't I?
It burns at 1,200 degrees. The foliage is saturated with this stuff. And when it burns...
But what about tree number seven? What about tree number seven?
You're not going to stop it. And this is the reason why. They've weaponized, again, trying to... The depopulation, trying to make...
They. Well, I mean, we know who they is, don't we? The devil! Of course it is. And we know who the devil is. We know who she is.
Make people sick and trying to kill people off. This is their way of retaliating because I believe California's fixing to go red, brother.
I believe that too, Mark. I do.
And there's an all-out assault on for California, Florida, and Texas. Watch for stuff happening in these three states because...
Wait, California, Florida, and Texas, and California is about to go red. I thought, well, ain't Texas about to go blue? See, this is what happens when you don't have the gift of prophecy, brethren and sistren. It just comes out sounding like somebody's playing an old record album backwards. But, well, oh dear.
Because there's an all-out assault going on, because when those, if California goes red, hang it up, they're done.
Yeah, that's right. California's going to go red. Well, look, it's not like I didn't warn you. Back when places like Wisconsin were under assault, I said, you know, they're just trying to isolate California. Because sooner or later, they'll come for you, too. Well, this is kind of proof of that. Now, granted, Mark Taylor's crazier than a sprayed roach at a decon party, but that's what's on their mind. Yeah, I know, those, Steve in New York says, I know who they is. That's the secret society of the kind folks of the people of the They Institute. Wait a minute. A word? Yeah, don't they run a little PSA kind of, a word from they? Now, see, you're just confusing matters, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa says, okay, then the question is, why is the Trump regime allowing the spraying of aluminum oxide to go on? Well, that's because he hasn't completed his QAnon plan yet, Brother Deacon Asa. This is being done by the derp state, or deep state, sorry. Can you imagine what kind of shitty conspiracy it must be for Mark Taylor to be able to figure it out? But Chris McDonald of the Mick Files program, yeah, I believe that too, Mark. I do. Yeah, well, you go on believing. But Californians are being preemptively punished by the deep state for the votes they still haven't cast for Republicans because they don't want Republicans picking up California. Man. Mark Taylor must have like an entire basement full of Pappy Van Winkle or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're still taking their victory lap over there in the evangelical religion industry. And famous helmet-headed proud son of Stanford, Brian Fisher, well, he's especially thrilled that we've got a perpetrator of sexual assault, credibly accused, on the Supreme Court of the United States. Aren't you there, Brian? There, the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan. Aren't you, Brian?
Saturday was the best day in American politics since World War II.
Well, now. I guess he couldn't. The little aborted fetuses were having a party in heaven. The line was already taken, so he had to take the historical angle.
I repeat, Saturday was the best day in American politics. I'm not saying it's the best day in American history or the best day for whatever, but it was the best day in American politics since the end of World War II. And I explained that in the column. And, you know, there's a lot to celebrate here if you're a Brett Kavanaugh fan, as I am, as we are. You know, and he was confirmed to the Supreme Court on...
Yeah, you know, he's got all of Brett Kavanaugh's records. He's got a Brett Kavanaugh lunchbox. He's a big Brett Kavanaugh fan. Mm-hmm. He collected all the Brett Kavanaugh trading cards. Yeah.
Saturday. Despite a campaign against him that was vicious, and it was cruel, and it was slanderous. I believe the demons of hell under Satan's direction threw every single piece of weaponry, every single piece of firepower that they had, threw it into this battle to take out Brett Kavanaugh.
No, they didn't. Brett Kavanaugh didn't get the boils. Or the impetigo. A dragon didn't fly by and crisp Brett Kavanaugh with its combustible breath. Seems to me like if this was the work of demons, the demons were laying down on the job.
Wanted him not just defeated, they wanted him destroyed. I believe it represented a victory of Jesus Christ over Satan and the powers of darkness and evil in the unseen world.
The demon-haunted world. Yes. It was a victory for Jesus Christ to put a credibly abused sexual assault committer. A little bit of tormented syntax there. On the Supreme Court of the United States. Because, you know, he was hanging up there. Got that signboard over his head, INRI. I'm nailed right in. And he's seeing all of past history and the future rushing before his eyes. He's sitting there thinking, you know, I'm dying here for the sins of all humanity, now and into the future. That little toddler that's gonna break the cookie jar, reaching for that extra oatmeal cookie. I'm dying for his sins, but I'm also up here getting murdered by the Romans. So that a guy who was a beer swilling teenager can get on the Supreme Court of the United States. Hey, Dad, what's a United States? Oh, yeah, got that. And do things like help make sure that the planet that, well, you created, Dad. Won't sustain human life anymore, and it'll get hotter than hell. Well, I probably shouldn't put it that way, but well, yeah, that's how it works.
You know, I suggested at the time that the spiritual warfare that was directed against Judge Kavanaugh, I believe, was as intense as anything we have witnessed in the last several decades.
Spiritual warfare. With that whole armor of God, you know, strap on the AR-15 of moral righteousness, and pick up thy Glock and follow me. Yeah, right, sure.
It was as if all the demons of hell had been summoned by Satan and ordered to attack this good man in a concerted effort to destroy him.
Now, once upon a time, okay, this is, again, this comes from the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan. And way back when I was just a little pimply-faced gospel DJ, I'd play cassette recordings that the American Family Association paid to run on the little radio station where I was. And they were shriek fests led by a man named Donald Wildmon. And, you know, back then, Donald Wildmon, of course, at that point in time, I was living in what were called dry counties because there weren't no alcohol allowed to be sold there. Not even the strongest thing you could buy anywhere in Lauderdale or Colbert County, Alabama, was vanilla extract, unless, of course, you were buying it from the sheriffs. And they'd have some fine confiscated liquor. They'd go and roust the bootleggers every now and then, and if you were having a big party, say at the Reynolds Metals Company fishing camp, you'd go and you'd buy your liquor from the sheriff of Colbert County, and your beer, and your wine. But way back then, dry counties were a lot more prevalent than they are now. There's still some, but people like Donald Wildmon of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, a tax exempt organization, would inveigh at every possible choice or opportunity against the evils of alcohol and how Jesus wanted there to be dry counties so that people could be upstanding and God-fearing and Bible-believing. You know, to this day, you can go to a Baptist wedding and they'll have Baptist wedding punch there at the reception, and it's pretty, and it don't taste half bad either. I think there's some high C in it or some Hawaii punch, and then they pour some ginger ale to it, and they float a whole tub of rainbow colored sherbet in it, but they don't float no rum on top, 'cause they don't believe They don't care much. They don't cotton to drinking. But now, all of a sudden, Brett Kavanaugh, who looked the likes of helmet-headed proud son of Stanford Brian Fisher in the eye and said, I did not rape that woman, Dr. Ford. Now, apparently, the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mazuppistan is all down with guys who scream in front of Senate committees about how much they like beer, how much they drink beer, about how sometimes they drink too much beer, but they like beer, and do you like beer? Gotta wonder if Brett Kavanaugh would like to have a beer with helmet-haired proud son of Stanford Brian Fisher someday. You gotta wonder if a helmet-headed proud son of Stanford Brian Fisher would hoist a beer with him. Because ever since about, oh, say, 2016, the world has turned upside down. And now the unbending, teetotaling Baptists are all a flutter over preppy, beer-swilling Roman Catholics educated in Jesuit institutions? Whew. Nothing makes sense anymore. Because, you know, I was even thinking about this the other day. In fact, I asked our dear friend Tara Devlin about this. I said, if Brett Kavanaugh was a friend of Bill W., would the organization, that anonymous organization, give him up? And she said, no, they wouldn't. But then I realized, because I'd sort of wondered if maybe he had was going to some of those meetings or something there in the greater D.C. area. But then I realized that, no, he testified under oath that he was still swilling the brewskis. I don't know if he's still swilling it with PJ and Squee, but it's a puzzlement. Yeah.
And I believe, thanks to the faithful, committed saints who release the power of God against the powers of darkness through focused and persistent prayer, victory was seized, victory was snatched out of the jaws of defeat.
Little pro tip for Brian Fisher, helmet-headed proud son of Stanford. When you're talking about, well, that's just a word you don't want to use in this context, okay? What victory was. You don't. Just don't. Focused and persistent prayer got a bunch of Republicans to vote the way Republicans always do, including the lone Republican who voted no and then changed her vote to present. That does, just maybe me, but that doesn't strike me as being a very impressive display of celestial hocus pocus, getting Republicans to vote like Republicans already vote and vote all the time and have a majority. Parting the Red Sea, that ain't. Let's see. What's this, Marty? Marty with a note. didn't think about that, but yeah. Brian Fisher, proud son of Stanford, like another proud son of Stanford, Brock Turner? Yes. Of course, maybe that's Stanford, Mississippi or something. But no. I guess I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. Steve in New York, Mr. Helmet Hair, proud son of Stanford, I can't take this confusion. I have to say again, I thought the papists were the followers of the Whore of Babylon. So when did the Whore of Babylon become the same as Jeebus Cripes? Those who voted for the Saffron Stalin demonstrate an ignorance surpassed only by their utter dim-wittedness. It's... Well, I mean, if you're looking for silver linings and stuff, I guess this is a manifestation of a sort of broader ecumenicalism in a very, very bad way. But, and people, I think, should be free to worship as they choose. They just don't get to try to make us worship the same way. It's kind of like one of those other evangelicals I heard prattling on the other day about how, glory hallelujah, God is back in the schools, and or back in the Supreme Court, and now we can have prayer in the schools again. And I just thought, man, you are going to love it when they say, now, children, take out your rugs. There, the little mark on the door, that's where Mecca is. Now let's all bow toward Mecca and pray to Allah, because that's what the state says. Ooh, they wouldn't want their prayer in the school so much then, would they? Okay, now, well, that's never going to happen anyway. I mean, this is a Christian nation, so nobody's ever going to pray toward Allah during mandatory school prayer time. No, maybe they can just Pater Noster, qui in caelum est. Ooh, that's Latin. And I'm not even sure if the est comes at the end or in somewhere in the middle. But that'd be one of your Roman Catholic prayers. I wonder how the Baptists and the Methodists are going to feel about that. I mean, remember, the Baptists and the Methodists, when they take what the rest of the world calls communion, they just call it the Lord's Supper. You get a little off-brand. I mean, we're talking about Baptists after all. You get a little off-brand saltine and a little Piggly Wiggly brand grape juice. Not even real wine, because they'll happily tell you that, well, the wine they talk about in the Bible wasn't real wine like they sell in the wine stores now that'll get you all drunk and stuff. What they mean when they say wine is grape juice. That's what it means in the Bible. It just means grape juice, not wine, not some sort of Cabernet, Merlot, Shiraz, what or another. And they're gonna... Whoa, this is good. Mm-hmm. Good and confusing. Meanwhile, Jack in Shreveport, they from the firefighter dude. That's Mark Taylor, firefighter prophet. Get it right, Jack. Is that the they that are dumping poison into the air and the water? You know, the actual poison? Tell the dude, chemtrail this, motherfucker. Yeah. P.S., since this is Wednesday, I thought I'd share a little something we get in our neck of the woods from today's local paper. On the front page of the print version, below the fold, the headline, Local Event to Focus on Jesus' Alleged Burial Cloth. Perhaps this may be of use when we need to go to the doctor or something. The first three paragraphs of no real use of interest, but so you don't have to look up the article, are two members of the 1978 team that studied the Shroud of Turin, what some believe was the burial cloth of Jesus Christ, will be in the Shreveport area this week for a three-day event hosted by the Cathedral of St. John Birchmans. The 14-foot linen cloth entered the documented historical record in the 14th century right after it was made, no, I added that part, and purportedly displays the image of a crucified man. Since 1578, it has been held in Turin, Italy. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the Shroud of Turin Research Project, STURP, which was the only time scientists were allowed access to study and take samples from the Shroud of Turin. There's more religious-ish names of organizations and people's titles and further details later in the article. Of course, we now know that the Shroud of Turin, well, it's not 2,000 years old. It's just not. And that ain't Jesus. But then again, we're talking about faith and not, you know, empirically gathered data. Well, that's true. That's true. David in South Carolina pointing out the Church of Satan, they pray prayers too. Yes, they do. It won't Marvelline love it when her son comes home after we get prayer back in schools because God's favorite beer drinking preppy said we need prayer in the schools. Won't it be wonderful when he comes home and teaches tells Mama all about the Church of Satan prayer that he learned that day? No. Jesus, save me from your followers. Then there's Steve Strang. The evangelical community has been quite taken with the whole Brett Kavanaugh thing. And they're absolutely convinced that, well, that what? Well, they're convinced that they like him because they think he's going to give them what they want. It's just, you know, it's that transactional. Kind of the way when these evangelicals go to a convention and go out to the strip clubs, they like to give the dancers $20 bills so that the dancers will then give them what they want. Yeah. Steve Strang is the publisher of Charisma magazine. And he recently opined on the allegations about Brett Kavanaugh and said that, well, once again, you know, forces of evil, darkness, demons, yada, yada, yada. But it's the way he characterizes that with which Brett Kavanaugh was credibly accused that makes you, well, want to bite down extra hard on the hockey puck. That's what it makes you want to do.
Now, we know that there's a big election coming up, the midterms. And as I'm out promoting my new book, Trump Aftershock, I'm using it as an opportunity to try to get people motivated to go to the polls. You know, one of the chapters in my book, in fact, it's chapter 10, which you can actually get a free download, and I'll tell you about it in just a minute. But it's called America at War with Itself. And that's what we're seeing in this country. There's an actual war going on. And it's not...
Now, does he mean to use the word actual? Is he using the word actual because literal has been so lately worn out? He says there's an actual war going on. An actual war. Not a figurative war. Not a metaphorical war. Not something that is analogous to war, but an actual war. Is that what we were talking? Is that what we saw in Charlottesville last year? It was last night that I had the story about how Rand Paul and that thing on his head, libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul, went crying to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to decry the political climate. And he said, I'm afraid somebody is going to get killed. Going to. Will get killed. Future tense. Which means no one has gotten killed up to this point, but at some point in time, someone will. Well, what he was actually saying is, I'm afraid somebody's eventually going to kill a white winger or a white wing senator or a white wing member of Congress. Because and you can tell how much time he spends worrying about the violent proclivities of his own white wing when he said that. Because Heather Heyer remains dead. And Heather Heyer was murdered in Charlottesville because of the rancorous political climate that moved a real live, no kidding, white supremacist neo-Nazi to murder Heather Heyer with an automobile. But Rand Paul cannot be bothered to remember Heather Heyer because she doesn't count. She's not one of the people that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, was worried about getting killed. No. So there's an actual, Steve Strang, there's an actual war.
With itself. And that's what we're seeing in this country. There's an actual war going on. And it's not just left and right. It's not Republican and Democrat. I believe it's really between good and evil.
Hmm. Not between left and right, not between Republican and Democrat, but between good and evil. That's really not helpful because somebody's going to have to be on the evil side. And I'm pretty sure Steve Strang knows who that is, at least in his mind.
And this is not to say that we're dealing just with evil people, although there are evil people in the world motivated by evil things.
Oh, God, here we go again with the fucking demons.
Things. I believe that it's a spiritual struggle, and the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. But the Bible also tells us we need to pray.
The Bible also tells us that the sun revolves around the earth, and pi equals 3. But, well, we're just getting all caught up in the details, aren't we?
For the right kind of leader so that we may live peaceful lives serving God. So I think it's important that we take our responsibilities as Christians and vote and get other people to vote. So I hope that you know that we have to vote the right kind of people in. I mean,
And who would those right kinds of people be? Steve Strang. Republicans, of course.
You know, I'm a Republican, but I've also been a Democrat for many years before that. Neither party is perfect, that's for sure.
No one's claiming the Democrats are perfect. And it's really, then there's that old saying about don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Yeah, that ain't what he's talking about either.
But what we're seeing is that the Democratic Party has gone so far left that is...
Because the Republican Party hasn't gone so far right. I mean, granted, we've got Nazis marching in the fucking streets, and we got Klansmen marching in the fucking streets and making up a margin of victory in places like, say, Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania for Donald Trump to become president. But the Republicans haven't gone that far right.
Alienated people like me. And what we see now with the
he's feeling alienated.
Kavanaugh, who...
Okay, this is let me just warn you. He's been alienated. Poor Steve Strang. He was alienated back when the Democrats started, I don't know, because they wanted certain people to get to vote and stuff and sit at the same lunch counter. Who knows? But he got alienated. But this is the hockey puck part. This is where he moves into his discussion of Brett Kavanaugh. Look out. Bite down.
And what we see now with the this controversy over Judge Kavanaugh, who is so very qualified, they could find nothing to keep him from being confirmed. And so they will stop at nothing, including lying. And not only that, but some of the antics that have gone on, leader after leader after leader gets on there and talks about how bad Judge Kavanaugh is. And, you know, he's denied these things. But even if they're true, it was...
Wait. I'm going to give you one last chance. Maybe tear off another piece of duct tape and make sure the hockey puck is in your mouth real, real good. Because you're about to hoot like barn owl, whether you realize it or not.
Gets on there and talks about how bad Judge Kavanaugh is, and you know he's denied these things. But even if they're true, it was pretty nickel and dime stuff that high school kids do.
forcing a 15-year-old girl into an upstairs bedroom, turning the stereo in that room up loud enough that her screams can't be heard, putting your hand over her mouth so that, again, her screams can't be heard, as you laugh like a little imp straight from the bowels of hell and proceed to try to grope her out of her bathing suit so that you can forcibly have sex with her. Well, this Christian says that that's pretty nickel and dime stuff. Pretty nickel and dime stuff. And that's and Brett Kavanaugh is the right kind of people to have in government. Because even if he did what he was accused of doing, well, it's nickel and dime stuff. Even if his victim still hears in her mind's ear their laughter on that sodden, beer-fueled, rapish night, pretty nickel and dime stuff, says the follower of the Prince of Peace. Well, there's Laurel trying to find something good about it all. At least he referred to women as nickel and dime stuff and not completely worthless. Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, does Steve Strang happen to be Lindsey Graham's twin brother? They sound awfully similar. Nickel and dime stuff that high school kids do. Because, you know, high school boys just rape. It's nickel and dime stuff. It's high school boy rape. I mean, look. Well, he's got more, Steve Strang does.
Like everybody on that committee probably did that kind of stuff when they were teenagers. I mean, it's just kind of part of growing up.
Kind of makes you wonder what Steve Strang did when he was a high school kid. When I was a high school kid, we did some bad things. I've talked about some of them here. We had to drive a 22-mile round trip to the Tennessee state line to get beer. Dry County. Bought it underage. It was illegal to do. But I don't remember rape being part of growing up. I don't remember that at all. But then again, he's an evangelical Christian, so maybe the people he ran around with did do that kind of thing. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and oh mercy sakes, you know. As Stephen New York says, subject line, more confusion and ironicalness. Rank-and-file Catholics didn't and don't support Kavanaughs. Rank-and-file evangelicals do. I'm sorry to harp, says Steve, but I just don't get it. Harp. Harp. Yeah. Hello, Steve. Harp. Halo. See. Yeah. No. I know. The next thing you know, the Southern Baptist Convention is going to gather together and decide they want to have them a pope. Just not one of them sissy liberal popes like Pope Frank. But you know who the... Steve continues and says, I can honestly say I never sexually assaulted anyone growing up. Hell, I was a virgin till college. Yes, I know, TMI, but well, there you go. At some point, I got gayified. which means I was obviously retroactively promiscuous and deviant by default. Getting gayified? One of these days... It's probably there in the gay agenda handbook, and I just don't know. Scott in San Diego, GOP. They all say that to avoid saying something else. There are only two ways to run: unopposed or scared. With the GOP this time around, in more than a few races, it's the latter and not the former. The proof is in their verbiage. In a relatively short time, the Democrats have gone from being snowflakes to being an angry mob. Didn't think about it that way, Scott. That's quite a trenchant observation. How did we go from being snowflakes desperately in need of safe spaces to being an angry mob like the chlamydia Caligula says? But there are victims here. Yes, indeed. The Kavanaugh confirmation process proved that there are indeed victims. You know who those victims are? Coach Dave Daubenmeyer does. You remember Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, the man who can't find a certain word in the dictionary because he can't spell it. By the way, I looked it up in the handy-dandy Horn Oxford English Dictionary, and that ain't Oxford, Mississippi either, by God. And it's there. It's there. He just couldn't spell it. He used an A instead of an E. No kidding. But Dave Daubenmeyer is so proud because he raised his daughters so well that they didn't turn out to be short-haired lesbian softball players with large posteriors. He said so. But he knows who the victims were and are in America today. And it's not any of this Me Too business, neither.
The Holy Spirit said, well, Coach, men are being sexually profiled. I said, what? He says, are you watching? I'm making this dialogue up. These are the questions that are coming to me. I think it's the Holy Spirit.
I think it's probably a mental illness that could be treated by modern medicine, but this is the first one that I've ever heard actually admit that he makes this stuff up that he says God's talking to him about.
So aren't you watching? Aren't you watching what's going on there in Washington, D.C. with Kavanaugh? Don't you realize that they're profiling particularly white men? All white men rape women. All white men are animals. All white men only care about themselves. All white men only care about their penises. Can't you see, fellas, that we are all guilty? We are all being sexually profiled.
Now hold on a damn minute there, Coach. Doesn't it say there in your book, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? That's kind of like your holy book saying that everybody is guilty. Yeah, oh, oops.
And then I think of that scumbag up there in Minnesota, that Keith Ellison. See, he's not being sexually profiled because he'd be a Muslim. And Muslims, even though we know, I don't know about Keith Ellison, but we know the Muslims are deviants.
All of them. Muslims are deviants. He doesn't know personally about Keith Ellison, but he knows specifically that all Muslims are deviants. And this is just that point of the program where I remind you, yeah, all these people are out here saying all these hateful, nasty things, these evangelicals. It's the people sitting at home in front of a screen nodding their head yes and saying things like praise Jesus and looking over and saying, Marvelline, are you hearing this? Yes, Emery, I am. It's terrible. I wish we lived in a Christian nation.
Deviants. I'll say it. I know nobody else will. They're deviants. They're sexual deviants. Not all Muslims. But Muhammad himself is a pedophile, right? Are they sexually profiling the Muslims? Are they sexually profiling the little Chinese people that come walking through, the little Japanese people? Are they?
Wait, what? Oh, it's a good thing that Tim from LA is not listening live right now, because all the little Chinese people and the little Japanese, what are they, hobbits? This guy's like going for, I don't know, critical racism mass here. What comes next? I mean, he worked the N-word side of the street a couple of weeks ago, but and I don't know, maybe his views went way up or something. Maybe he got featured over on the Daily Stormer. Who knows? What about the little Japanese people and the little Chinese people? Little, you know, 2.5 inches tall.
Sexually profiling them? Are they sexually profiling the black men that come through? No. They're sexually profiling the
white. Dave, yeah, they sexually profile the black men. That's why Emmett Till got murdered. That's why there were things like the eyeball rule and the step off rule that could get you real dead real fast. By God, you're right. Laurel's batting a million tonight. It's bigot bingo. What's on the free space? Oh, well, that word, of course. Little Japanese people, little Chinese people. Little. I guess that even includes Yao Ming. I mean,
profiling the Muslims? Are they sexually profiling the little Chinese people that come walking through, the little Japanese people? Are they sexually profiling them? Are they sexually profiling the black men that come through? No. They're sexually profiling the white Christian men. That's what's going on.
Yeah, they're sexually profiling the white Christian men who, at the age of 17, tried to rape a white Christian girl. That's profiling.
How do we let them get away with that? What, better yet, why do we take it? Why do we let them do that to us? Now, here's my question. You ever thought about that before? That we are daily being sexually profiled. Every one of you, white men in particular, maybe you too, Paul, maybe you too, Vinny, I don't know. Every one of us, white, heterosexual Protestants.
Oh, wait. Wait, every one of us. Brett Kavanaugh's not a Protestant there, Dave? The aggrieved is strong with this one. Sounds like he's probably maybe raped somebody, or sure would like to. Sure do got a pretty mouth.
Of being sexually profiled by the Jezebel spirit.
Yeah, Jezebel spirit. Has anybody started a band yet named Jezebel Spirit? It should be, you know, like it'd be like the second decade of the 21st century version of the Go-Go's. The Jezebel Spirit. That would be an awesome band. How is it that there's such a market for this in this country? How is it that this succeeds? Does the 30-35% of the people in this country who are maggots, are they what keeps this going? This poison? All Muslims are deviants, but not all Muslims? All Muslims are deviants. Some Muslims? And why aren't the little Chinese and the little Japanese people being sexually profiled? And then there's the basic definitional issues that related to what constitutes sexual profiling. I mean, if a guy gets drunk in D.C. and is walking home or walking on the sidewalks with a couple of women, and he pushes one of the women up against a brick wall and forcibly tries to kiss her and gropes her at the same time, is it sexually profiling him to say that he did that? Is it sexually profiling to talk about the statistical relevancy of manifestations of white male privilege like that? And no, Keith Ellison is not getting a pass. But what is that? Sexual profiling. But make no mistake, it's not just the guys out there. They have help. Because, Sandy Rios in the morning. She's one of those white wing evangelical attack blondes. She took to the airwaves. And again, remember, 53% of white women in America voted for Donald Trump even after they knew that he bragged about grabbing women by their genitals. Well, here's Sandy Rios. She's not gonna cut Dr. Ford any slack just because, you know, she's a girl.
Yeah, so some people think that it was wrong to mock Christine Ford. I did my share of it too. I think she's a liar, and I think she deserves mockery. I think she is the perpetrator. I think the more I'm learning about her, the more dangerous I'm hearing that she is. She's not an innocent woman. I don't know if she's, I'll tell you some things that we heard just this morning. Let me just share a couple of things with you.
Oh, by the way, Kellyanne Conway has been having a hissy lately, talking about how we need more civility. That Kellyanne Conway, the one that works for the least civil person in the entire United States. The guy who mocks a disabled reporter. The guy who attacked the grief-stricken family of an American soldier killed in combat. The guy who basically started a war of words with John McCain. And she doesn't like, Kellyanne doesn't, she doesn't like it when we're not civil to her. And when liberals say mean things to Republicans. I wish I was kidding. You know better than to think I am. Yeah, she's Kellyanne, who even made her own career out of right-wing sleaze. She's mad at, Hillary. Because Hillary Clinton said in an interview, you can't be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we're fortunate enough to win back the House or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength. Well, that was something up with which Kellyanne Conway would not put. She declared, I think her discourse now is dangerous.
I don't like that kind of talk, and I avoid it. My boss has called for civility.
Kellyanne Conway has, of course, not called out Sandy Rios in the morning, because Sandy Rios has a listening audience that is comprised almost entirely, with the exception of the people who pull these goddamn clips, of maggots. So when Sandy Rios says that Dr. Ford deserves to be mocked, well, I mean, that's not incivil. That's just patriotism, right?
On this, I mentioned yesterday, I think, briefly that, remember the boyfriend of Christine Ford who came through with a letter yesterday? He sent, I think, to the Senate Judiciary Committee, longtime boyfriend, and he said that, among other things, he said she had no phobia about doors, she had no phobia of flying. In all the years that he knew her, he lived with her. But he also then mentioned a woman named Monica McLean, who was her good friend, who she lived with for a long time. And he claims in his letter that, remember that Christine Ford was asked by the female prosecutor or sex crimes expert if she had ever coached anyone on a polygraph, and she said never, no. Well, the boyfriend, of course, refuted that. He said he watched it. He watched her coach Monica McLean. She was applying to be an FBI agent. We know now that Monica McLean was an FBI agent for 24 years. She retired in 2016. We know that Christine Ford, when she flew out to the East Coast to prepare, before we even knew what her name was, she'd scrubbed her social media. She flew out to the East Coast to take a polygraph. And she stayed in the same place where Monica McLean was living. I think it's called, it's a place in Delaware. It's a beach that it's called Rehoboth Beach. Rehoboth Beach in Delaware. So Christine Ford spent all that time with this FBI agent leading up to her testimony and leading up to her polygraph. So then we see that Monica is seen in a still shot with Christine Ford sitting at the table getting ready to testify. Monica is to her right. It's just as clear as day.
There's only one problem. Well, I mean, it's not a problem for the people who listen to Sandy Rios. It's just a problem, well, for people who are interested in things like facts. That whole conspiracy theory has been refuted. And then there's the idea that's contained within those paranoid ravings that, I don't know, that Dr. Ford somehow used her Sith powers to manipulate her own polygraph. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this includes allegations that Dr. Ford is part of the deep state. Things like that she was a CIA agent. Yeah, Alex Jones did that. Michael the Savage Wiener did that. But as usual, a lie can get around the world before the truth can get its shoes on. Further allegations that, let's see, her family's tied to the deep state. And by the way, she still can't go home because of the death threats propagated by the likes of Sandy Rios and Brian Fisher and Steve Strang. And then there's John Guandolo. And it's not just Dr. Ford. It's anybody who believes her. The language
this
is getting
Kavanaugh
a little creepy.
Hearing, puts on full display the Marxist and Islamic counter states here in the United States. Two equal cancers competing to destroy the United States from within. And we see, when you see groups like Code Pink, Marxist, George Soros-funded hostile groups.
Can we take a minute here with the George Soros stuff now that Julius Geezer has gotten deeply into it? Anytime you hear someone say George Soros and they're on the right, understand that that is an anti-Semitic attack, please. It's just a name change from the previous version that blamed the Rothschilds or the learned elders of Zion. So it's no surprise that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is perpetuating an anti-Semitic stereotype. No surprise at all. But just be sort of attuned to that word. Because the minute they use it, you know them for who they are.
You see groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, you see who literally are in the hearing room protesting and then walking outside and getting paid by their Marxist paymasters.
Which, of course, isn't happening and doesn't happen. This John Guandolo is a hopeless racist. He's a former FBI agent who got busted after his bosses found a list that he'd written of all the people he'd had sex with. Well, all the agents he'd had sex with, as well as a confidential informant that he'd had sex with. Yeah. Well, that's what Wingnut Welfare's for. But this eliminationist rhetoric is a little bit unsettling.
This tells you these are not simply, quote, political objections. People that support these movements to include the National Democrat Party are not simply, they don't simply have a, quote, alternate political perspective. These are hostile enemies of the United States working to overthrow the government.
Except they're not. Most of the people who attend protests are people who want to see the government do better, who take that line at the beginning of the Constitution about we the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union. Well, they're trying to do that because they perceive that this government is in the grips of some pretty nasty people. People supported by the likes of John Guandolo. Or policymakers like Stephen Miller, who like to put children in dog cages. But the people protesting are enemies of the United States. Well, what do you do with an enemy of the United States? Yeah, no critiques from either Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, or Kellyanne Conway for the incivility of referring to fully half or more of the country as hostile enemies of the United States. Because in their world, the only people that are actually the United States are the maggots. And that's terrifying because they have lots of guns. These good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals. Lots and lots of guns. Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, Jezebel. My drag name is Jezebel Collingwood. That's a great drag name. Back in the day, one block up from Castro was Collingwood Street, which prior to Grindr, etc., after the bars closed, us young gay men would cruise that square block throughout the night. Thanks for the memories. Jezebel Collingwood. And, of course, there's pun potential there by the boatload, too. Oh, yes. Marty says, how is there a market for this here in the USA? Remember what Obi-Wan said in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope? The Force can have a strong effect on the weak-minded. True. True. Meanwhile, Scott, Anatomy of a Trump Rally, the hero, that's him, a jester, also him, villains, damsels, dystopia, and lots of grievances. Lots and lots of grievances. David in South Carolina taking a little bit of issue with something I said. Actually, white evangelicals support Donald Trump, Cav. Most black evangelicals do not support Cav or DT. Some do, some don't. Well, but you said most. So that would be helpful. If it could be proven to be true. Alexander says, no, actually the people are hostile enemies of these self-righteous, hypocritical, self-serving white folks that all feel as if they are entitled above the law. Arkham, people like me aren't trying to hear their bullshit. I know, Brother Deacon Asa, that it gets pretty icky, but, you know, you say this is the fourth consecutive Kavanaugh filleting story, Bob. It's nauseating. I really can't afford to reach the tequila while I'm still at work. Lord knows I want to. Dude, I'm the one sitting here. I'm the one that prepares all this stuff. This ain't the first time I've heard these clips. You? Tequila? I saw a buddy of mine earlier today that from time to time has been able to get his hands on some pretty fair, clear liquor packed in mason jars. And I was strongly tempted to say, hey, any of that around? But I can't do that anymore. Tequila indeed. Brother, I am lashed to the mast. Maybe we need to recut the... good morning, good evening, enemies of the United States. No, let's not do that. They might take it seriously. And we're not. They may be. But we're not. It's a prayer meeting Wednesday, after all. What else do we have here? Let's see. Might take me a minute, but I've been saving them. I told you last night about the city councilman in Parkersburg, West Virginia, who got all excited and tweet and posted on Facebook, "Better get your coat hangers ready, liberals." Well, the city council had a meeting last night, and somebody was there to project his words on the city building, so in City Hall. Better get your coat hangers ready, liberals. He is, he's tried, you know how Sandy Rios said, yeah, she scrubbed her social media. Well, he tried to disappear that. And then, of course, he climbed up on the cross and said, people are trying to get me fired for using my free speech. Big baby. And then there's the larger issue of rape in its own right. And the number of people who are, I mean, this discussion is apparently something they didn't want to have for reasons that I don't, that I can't fully explain without engaging in some pretty nauseating speculation. But back on Sunday morning, and yes, I'm working Steve and Todd's corner on this one. But back on Sunday morning, the day after the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. Well, Washington Journal went to the air, and Sunday morning it was Steve Scully, not Pedro, doing the hosting. And he took a call from Kenneth in Georgia. Whoa. Apparently, some folks start drinking early.
And good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm an old retired Army Sergeant Major, and I'm going to tell you something. If you thought that the sexual stuff that's going on there in that court was bad, you ought to see the U.S. Army now. If they have those women in Congress and in the Senate have absolutely destroyed the U.S. Army. Right now, you've got people going to classes like the old Chinese Red Book classes. It's a mandatory, right here, it's mandatory. Everybody at Fort Gordon, for years now, go to their two-hour weekly indoctrination training to stop rape on post.
Oh, what a horrible waste of taxpayer money. No, actually, when it comes right down to it, the military is pretty good at sorting out what it needs to do in order to train the troops. How many rounds do they need to fire at the range? How many hours do they need to spend on the range to achieve mastery of their weapon? How much time do you need to spend in school to become a competent diesel mechanic? And somewhere along the way, they figured out that it takes 2 hours a week to make soldiers quit raping other soldiers. It's actually kind of surprising to me that they're putting that much effort into it. Good for them. You'd think just telling people not to rape other people would be pretty effective, what with you got the whole uniform code of military justice there, but, well, no, that's not what that's about. It's communism. You heard him there. Red book education straight out of communist China, because he's an old Army sergeant major.
And yet you don't see anything written up. You don't see any kind of anything going on, but the classes are mandatory. And if you don't go, your career is over with. And we have a problem now with overweight people afraid to say anything because they're afraid to be charged with being sexual harassers.
What? I told you they start drinking early in Kenneth's neck of the woods in Georgia. Where did the overweight part of it come in? Overweight people afraid to... Did we hear that right?
you don't go, your career is over with. And we have a problem now with overweight people afraid to say anything because they're afraid to be charged with being sexual harassers.
So people in the military who are overweight are afraid to say, because then they'll... Shit. That Popov vodka is some mean-ass stuff at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's all I can tell you.
So they don't say anything. They've distanced themselves from soldiers so that they don't have to come in contact with them.
Kenneth?
You know, Steve there, they got the camera on him, but what would you give to tune into Washington Journal some morning and when one of your Kenneths here calls in, see him start playing jacks on the desktop, or maybe doing the old Archie Bunker thing where, you know, remember when Edith would be talking and Archie would pantomime popping the cylinder out of the revolver and putting the bullets in the revolver and closing the and then he'd spin it and then he'd cock the hammer back and Edith still be talking and pantomime going, you know, killing himself. It constantly amazes me. That Pedro and Steve and those guys don't do that sometimes. Of course, I also harbor a private fantasy that one of these days they're going to take a call from a Kenneth or a what, and they're going to reach into the breast pocket of their suit jacket and pull out a mostly empty pint of liquor and just toss it over their shoulder and I quit. Get all these overweight people and afraid to say anything. Well, you know, there's a... Okay, if we assume for a moment that maybe he got lost in this moment there because it's his big star turn on Washington Journal since he moved out to the home. And so what he meant was that you can't tell a soldier that he or she is overweight without being accused of sexual harassment. I was never in the military, so I could be entirely wrong, but isn't there a big difference between maggot, you're too fat, and maggot, you're too fat, and I want to fuck you? I would think there's a difference. Maybe not.
So they don't say anything. They've distanced themselves from soldiers so that they don't have to come in contact with them.
Kenneth, thank you for the call. This tweet from the Rombach Report, Democrats had this contest all sewn up, but they overplayed their hand. It's not so much that Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the Supreme Court will impact the midterm elections, but more like the shrill mob tactics used by his opposition that will remind Republicans to vote.
They sure do get a talking point around in a daggum hurry, don't they? Mob tactics. That was Sunday. Yeah. Wowzer. That's some powerful stuff. Well, maybe it ain't Popov. Maybe it's a little bit of old Panther piss. The favorite brown liquor, the Three Stooges shorts. Whew. I know. Hey, we're halfway through the program. We started the program with $475 to raise. We're still at $475 to raise. Hopefully that'll change, because $675 tomorrow is about... Well, that'll about give me the fantods. Yeah. Okay, let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got on the toll free number. If you want to jump in, 304-574-8178 is open, as is the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well.
Okay.
Is this Heather?
Yes, it is. Sorry
okay.
about that.
That's okay. Just checking.
All right. First thing, I was listening and I was in the chat room, and you were talking about the comment that Hillary made, and when you talked about it, you did tell us the whole comment, which is good, and I'm glad you did that.
What did I do wrong?
Huh?
What did I do wrong?
You didn't do anything wrong. I'm glad you told us the whole comment before people went and, you know, had a fit about it. And it is kind of hard to deal with people who don't want what you want as far as the country, as far as our institutions. And I definitely don't like Kavanaugh. I read somewhere that this might make him more moderate, but I don't really think so. I'm scared to death because of the fact that he could help get rid of Roe versus Wade. Not only is it that, but the Americans with Disabilities Act. And I'll just say, I hope whoever voted for him is proud of what he's doing, because I'm not.
No, well, I don't know how you.
I'm flummoxed, to say the least.
That's a good word. That's a handy word.
It is. I cannot believe that these people are behind him, and the percentage of the population that like Kavanaugh have got to be out of their minds. This is just.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I can go there, Heather. I think they have an agenda. They know what they want. They want what they want, and they will stop at nothing to get it.
But this is just not fair to the rest of us. But there's, you know, I mean, there's the ones that value the Constitution and some of the institutions in the country, and from what I did read somewhere that not a whole lot of people do like Kavanaugh, so that's a big plus. In fact, there was a picture somewhere that they had this big truck that said Women for Kavanaugh. There were only 13 people there, 7 men and 6 women. So there went his support. It's just, all I know is people better get out and vote.
Well, that's the only remedy we have at this point in time. And God knows it's going to be difficult enough in places like, say, Georgia, where the race for governor is neck and neck. The Republican gubernatorial nominee is, of course, the Secretary of State, and he's working hand over fist to suppress a ton of voter registrations, most of which just happen to be African American people in Georgia.
I read that earlier. Oh my God, that's sickening. I mean, the voter suppression, and they've been doing this.
But again, it's power politics, and they will do whatever it takes to win, including winning dirty.
Well, my congressman, and I live in, unfortunately, a red county. The man who is running against him wanted to have, a few debates. Right now, there's one. Now, if there's another one, that would be nice, but I'm flummoxed, and then this man that we have, who is the congressman in our county, he's a Republican, and he is very dead set. He's very dead set about getting anything that Trump wants done. Because he says it's because he believes it's going to make America great again.
Oh, that's just so much baloney, and we all know it, right?
Exactly.
Make America racist again. Make America fascist again.
And there was a newspaper editorial in, I think it was the Niles, Michigan paper, which is actually my hometown, and it's this little paper, or there's several little papers, but they're published by this group called Boone, Narragansett, or something like that. And, you know, believe it or not, they have been reasonably decent about putting out both sides, I mean, both views of people. And I told a friend of mine who does live in the same area, I told her, I'm going to post this paper, or I'm going to post the editorial from the Niles paper tomorrow morning just for you, because, I mean, it was short, it was sweet, and it was really nicely written. And she said about Upton, she said, you know, we know that, or the majority of people in this area know he's bad for the country, but yet they keep electing him. So I'm thinking my area's got a bunch of brainwashing.
Well, I mean, is that brainwashing, Heather? I mean, doesn't that give them an out that perhaps they don't deserve?
You know what, though? They really don't have a brain, so you can't.
Well, no. What if their motivations are far darker and more nefarious? Michigan is not immune to this. I mean, you know that from the 2016 election. What if they're just racists? What if they're white supremacists? Yeah. Okay. So maybe they're not a member of the Klan or a neo-Nazi organization, but they share the same mindset. What does that say about our country then?
We're screwed. We really are, unfortunately. But yeah, there are quite a few people who in this area, it is this area. I live in what they call Michiana. God forbid, don't even ask me how they have that name, but it's a part of Michigan and Indiana. In a city called Dowagiac, a couple years ago, they had a bunch of kids riding around in their trucks with the Confederate flag.
That's always a tell.
Who objected? Oh, we objected. A lot of people objected. And now there's a new bunch of them doing the same damn thing, and they say, oh, well, we mean no wrong. And I'm where are these kids' parents? And, oh, my God. Just something's not right.
And meanwhile, I guess what he's Julius Geezer is having a rally in Erie, PA this evening.
I just saw something about that.
In the middle of a hurricane. But no, he wouldn't cancel. Because nothing gets in the way of the monumental disease that is his ego.
Why couldn't you just had the thing at Mar-a-Lago?
I know that's mean to me,
but she's so Pete. That is just ugh. But yeah, I saw something about that and I thought I had a fit.
I understand. Heather, it's good to hear from you. You have yourself a good evening now.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll talk soon. That's Heather in Michiana. I understand why that kind of creeps her out. Yeah. I presume because it's almost impossible to miss, and because storms of this magnitude capture our attention, that you have seen some of the video footage or maybe still footage coming from the Hurricane Michael area. Two monumental storms in a row, and if the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is to be believed, and I believe them, this is nothing compared to some of the things that we're going to be seeing, say, in as little as 12 years. I saw a photograph earlier today of a bank. Now bear in mind, if you're building in, say, Panama City, and you're building, say, a bank building, generally speaking, to the same extent that new buildings in, say, California are engineered with earthquakes in mind and designed with earthquakes in mind, you do the same thing with hurricane force winds in mind if you're going to build in Panama City, Florida. One bank building was hit by the Cat 4 force winds and almost made it to Cat 5. And this bank building that was supposedly engineered to withstand hurricane force winds, literally, and I know what that word means, and when I use it, I mean it the way it's intended. This bank literally looks like it has been bombed. Like a bomb went off in it and blew out every window in the building, because every window in the building is gone. Okay, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Looks like there's 7 panes of glass, or 6 panes of glass on one side, 1 pane of glass on the main front, and maybe a few panes of exterior glass remain on the other side. But it is blown to smithereens. Hurricanes do that. But the people on the ground there, people who have watched hurricanes and reported on hurricanes and done that arguably, definitely dangerous and arguably unadvisable task of being there when the hurricane hits, say that this is unlike anything they've ever seen. There's video out there of houses in places like Mexico Beach, Florida, just being taken to pieces. One meteorologist said, I've never seen anything like this. But nonetheless, they're having a Trump Clavering rally in Erie, PA. tonight. Ostensibly for the purpose of promoting some maggot member of Congress. It was 2012 when Geezer Disgustus took to the Twitter and said, "Yesterday, Obama campaigned with Jay-Z and Springsteen while Hurricane Sandy victims across New York and New Jersey are still decimated by Sandy." Wrong. Well, he's campaigning. Kelly with a note. A lot of ass-kissing going on in Erie tonight. That's part of what makes it so eerie, Kelly. Rhonda in Virginia says, let's look at the demographics of a financially depressed area. The population of Erie County, PA is 84.6% white, 7.01% black, and 4.11% Hispanic. 7.03% of the people in Erie County, PA speak a non-English language, and 97.5% are U.S. citizens. Just saying. Oh, he knows where the maggot base is. He always knows. And they never, they don't take him anywhere. Right. Where never is heard a discouraging word. And the skies are not orange all day. And right now, Lou Barletta, I presume that's Lou Barletta, our buddy Spike told us about Lou a long time ago. And apparently he's bringing the raw meat.
And we are going to kneel when we pray and stand for the flag. No, Mr. President. No, Mr. President, we're not tired of winning in Pennsylvania. We're going to win again in November. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States.
Good night, Cleveland. They're not booing him. They're yelling Lou. They brought their drain the swamp signs.
He's a great man. He's a really, he'll be a fantastic representative for you in Washington, D.C. Got to get out and vote.
Maybe it's not Barletta.
So while Lou is fighting for you, Bob Casey is fighting to protect violent criminal aliens. That's what he's doing. Bob Casey voted in favor of deadly sanctuary cities that release thousands upon thousands of illegal alien criminals and vicious gang members to prey on Pennsylvania streets, to prey all over this country. No good. No good.
Wait, I thought he was in favor of praying.
City of Philadelphia, can you believe this? Can you believe that one? That one I didn't expect to be hearing. Released a criminal alien who was recently convicted of raping and battering a very young child. Bob Casey defends criminals while attacking our brave ICE agents. He wants to get rid of ICE.
ICE.
Let me tell you about ICE. These are tough, brave people that love our country.
And they especially love putting little children in dog cages. Yay, ICE! Of course, earlier in the day, Julius Geezer, well, he explained why it was he had to go to Erie.
Victor Blackwell, thank you very much. President Trump is going ahead with a political rally later tonight in Erie, Pennsylvania, despite the unfolding hurricane disaster. But he just spoke to reporters about why he decided to do this, go ahead with the rally, as this major storm is still hitting the southeast. Our chief White House correspondent, Jim Acosta, is in Erie at this rally. So, Jim, what did the president say?
That's right. Well, he just landed here in Erie, Pennsylvania, spoke to reporters on the tarmac at the airport where he landed, and he essentially said he didn't want to disappoint the thousands of people who are waiting outside and now inside this venue to hear the president speak. Here's what he told reporters just a few moments ago.
It would be very unfair. You have thousands of people that started coming last night, so we're going to do that, and we have a lot of happy people. In the meantime, we have it very well covered in Florida from the White House, from here, from what's on the plane, and we'll be back very shortly. But it would have been very, very unfair to thousands of people that you'll see over there.
Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it would have been unfair to them because they needed to see their God Emperor. They needed to touch the hem of his garment. Don't touch that. This is a very expensive suit. You can't afford it. You're trash. Don't touch the hem of my garment. You might stain it. Brother Deacon Asa asks, other than the 30% dead-ender maggot base, do you think he's converting anyone at these Klan rallies? We'll know on November 6th. I think at this point in time, they're just trying to keep him out of the White House. They're just trying to keep him from. I don't know. Maybe this is Maybe this is actually the work of that anonymous op-ed writer. Maybe this is what they mean by keeping him away from his worst impulses. I don't know. Steve from Georgistan, Trump's Klan rally in Erie. Bob, do you think Trump's Klan rally in Erie will be comparable and have the same negative optics as George Bush playing the air guitar during Katrina? No, I don't. Because, again, these hurricanes are hitting places where he's already God Emperor. And they'll say things like, well, I don't hold it against him for going to Erie, Pennsylvania. They love him in Erie, Pennsylvania, just like we do down here in Busted Knuckle, Florida. And people need to see him so that they can keep their faith in him. We're going to be all right down here. He's already got FEMA. He's already got FEMA on the ground. And well, it's just, you know, these things happen. But America loves Trump. And what's he going to do? Just sit there in the White House and wait on the hurricane to blow out? Might as well get some good done. Does that sound about right, Steve? Does that jibe with, yeah. Of course, earlier today in discussing Hurricane Michael, he said, and I've been told it may be the biggest hurricane ever. And you can see the spirochetes sort of slithering around each other inside the hollowed out remains of his brain. And you can see them think, big hurricane, me, big. Biggest hurricane of all time. That means that, like, that's because I'm me. Jesus God. Let's see.
These are people that MS-13, they're afraid of ice. They don't like seeing ice.
Ice. They don't like... Oh, he is so not.
Remember how badly I was going to do with women? I said, am I so bad? Remember how badly? And then I got 52% of the vote. And everybody said he beat Crooked Hillary.
There he is, lying some more. He got 52% of the white women's vote. That means we got a white woman problem in America. He did not get 52% of all women's votes. He didn't even get near 50% of all women's votes. because women who weren't white saw through him pretty quick.
What happened? What happened? Remember that? Remember they put up these phony numbers? But you remember that? We did very well. Thank you to the women. We did very well.
Grab me, Mr. President. Grab me.
She never
Wrong
got
accent.
It. The truth is she never got it. And she still doesn't get it. She's going around on a tour. Did you know this? Did you know that? I said, you should have saved it for the election. After years of being let down by Washington politicians, you now have a champion fighting for you in the White House. But I need your help this election day, November 6th, to stop the radical Democrat mob from trying to take it away. They're going to try and take it away.
Mob. The snowflake mob.
I need you to show up at the polls to continue this incredible movement like the country has never seen before. Like probably very few countries, frankly, have ever seen before. The only reason to vote Democrat is if you are tired of winning. Then you should vote Democrat. For many years, our country was being pillaged and plundered by unfair trade deals. Pennsylvania lost 1 in 3 manufacturing jobs. You know it well. I spent lots of time with you folks up here. You know it well.
Jesus, I can't. I just can't. By the way, Ford Motor Company is laying off a bunch of people because the steel and aluminum tariffs are busting their ass. By the way, a bunch of workers at Train, American workers at Train, they just got shit canned. And, oh, by the way, what did I see earlier today? The market took a big steamer. Did I see that? Looked pretty ugly. What was it? 500 points? Brutal. But it's unprecedented. Randy in PA says, it's not that the lights are on, but nobody's home. It's, he's home, but the lights aren't on. Yeah, to one in darkness. Edgar Allan Poe, wasn't it? Hung Like Jesus says, hey, Bob, listening to Trump's voice reminds me of the time I got food poisoning. While sitting on the couch in misery, a fast food commercial came on, and I projectile vomited all over my coffee table. That's Trump's voice. Yeah, won't it be wonderful when we don't have to hear it anymore? Maybe 2020? Then again, he said a minute ago, maybe no other country has seen... Ron in Raleigh says... I think another country has seen this sort of thing. Germany, in 1939. Kind of occurred to me, too. But he has, well, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And he really would not be that bothered if his maggots started shooting at normal Americans. Oh, I'm sorry. The market was down 800 points. And the number being laid off by Ford is 24,000 people. 24,000 people. Winning, right? So much winning. I know, Alexander says, Please, Brother Kincaid, no more audio of Madonna Chump's bold face lying and inciting hate and violence. Please, no more. I'm about to have dinner shortly. Stephen Georgia Stan says, Trump continually on tour and shoring up his base. We need someone on tour making the rounds and getting our message out. We're horrible at messaging. Horrible, horrible. Who? Perhaps the Horn family had some suggestions. I'd like to go more in depth on this topic on the porch come Friday. Well, let's do that. Let's do that. By all means. I don't know who that would be, though. I mean, the president has what's called the bully pulpit. And outside of a political campaign, which he's running and nobody else kind of is. I honest to God, Steve, I've been thinking about it. I don't know who that would be. Let's run back over to the stress line for a minute. Hey, welcome to the program.
It's Wongo.
Wait, what's with the beeping?
Because it's Colette.
Oh, Jim?
Yeah.
Where in the God's name have you been?
I can't say.
Secure undisclosed location?
I told you I have to come by your house and do something. I don't know what.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you. Folks been worried.
They have. About me?
About little old you.
God. I don't know what to say about that. No, to tell you the truth, I don't have my regular phone with me, and my cell phone, and it's gone. It's just fallen, as they say. No, I died because of the battery. I've got to get the recharging thing. So I thought I'd try your. Well, the only time I've ever called you is at your expense, since I've known you.
We'll try. We'll try to carry it, Jim. Don't worry about it.
How are you?
You know, I'm here and hanging on to my sanity for all I'm worth.
Yeah, that's a rather distressing, hasn't it?
Oh.
I mean, you know, what can I say? I start saying Bongo, I like rape. No, I didn't think that would be a very good name.
No. Mongo is just pawn in great game of life, yes.
Exactly right. And aren't we all? Lord, have mercy. I can tell you one thing. That guy that you were talking about who said that we are in an actual, not virtual, state of war and conflict, he is quite correct.
Yeah, and they're the ones waging it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they don't care as long as they think they can win. I mean, we saw exactly how they conducted themselves during the approval affirmation of Trump's second Supreme Court justice. I must admit, Donnie Boy should be pretty happy. He's gotten two to nothing before his first term is over.
It's a little worrisome,
he's got
Jim.
A reason to spot.
It's a little worrisome.
Oh, and he's now yet. Candy, I think I heard that from you on your program earlier about all the thousands of people that have come to see him and deify his godlike presence. And
they started showing up last night, Jim. There were thousands of them. I can't disappoint.
And don't forget his hair. Now, we can't be impolite and forget his hair.
Both of them. They're about 50 feet long.
Yeah, you're right. No, I've been under the weather. And actually, it's just been a day's journey, a long day's journey into night. But, you know, we all go through that, and we all have to endure it, basically being human.
comes with the pedigree.
I'm saying it does. So how they said, this is the first time I've listened to you in a while, and I brought my laptop with me. Actually, I am in the Krankenhaus.
You're du bist in den Krankenhaus?
Yeah, mein Führer.
Hey, easy. Are you getting the care you need?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the drugs I have to take is called Redexa. And when this black nurse was telling me about it, she said, well, you have a drug here called Redexa. And I said, honey, that was my drag name. And she said, your drag name? She's far. She's Magana. And she's wonderful. And I said, yeah. The other one used to be Anita Mann. And she said, well, I don't judge.
Well, good for her. No good problem. For her.
I thought she might find that somewhat amusing.
Yeah, did Renexa ever meet Jezebel Collingwood?
I don't know. I can't tell you whether I think Renexa's lost most of her memory on that thing. But, you know, I have got some really interesting people here, and a lot of them are from the Philippines and also from Indonesia. And some of the guys, well, my gaydar just went off, and they knew about me, I knew about them. It's one tall, good-looking fellow. He can't call himself Vincent, and I just call him Vincenzo, and he will always say, I'll be back.
No hitting on the gay nurses, Jim.
No, it's wonderful. I'm trying to say it's wonderful. What do you think I'm telling you about? He's beautiful. He's one of the most handsome men.
Ron and Raleigh just sent you a message, said, good to hear from Jim. You're missed, and we love you. That's Ron and Raleigh.
Well, thank you very much, and I miss hearing from his great contributions, and I feel the same way. So there we go. It's been, what, about 3 months, 2 months, something like
every
that?
Bit of it.
Well, you know, these things happen, and the last 2 years...
Does any of it involve having bolts in your neck or anything? I mean...
No, not at all. The other thing I can tell you is
you're not feeling any. I mean, there's no side effects. You're not feeling any strange urges to vote Republican, are you?
No, not at all. I had some kind of wound or something that I received. The doctor asked me. I had the shit for a doctor. I cannot stand that woman. And she said, "Well, how did you get this?" I said, "I was bitten by a penisaurus."
Jesus, Jim.
Sure did. And, you know, she's the kind that will come in your room at dark 30, switch on an overhead light, and then you are asleep, and you're supposed to, you know, just everything's coming up roses. It has the bedside manner of a fire plug. I told her, I said, Doctor, I said, you have absolutely the bedside manner of a fire plug. And I'll tell you, I have several Great Danes who want to meet you.
Ooh. That's a little cranky.
Honey, when you get to my age, you don't shiv again. Just better.
So are you still in the great state of West Virginia?
Yeah. And I'm right downtown at the old Bar H. And two of the Florence Nightingales have come in to just put something on my arm, but I can talk, no problem. You hear them?
Yeah, I did. You're definitely in West Virginia. I heard you.
There you go. And there's one girl, she's wonderful. Her name is Erica. She said, She said, I bet you can't guess where I'm from. And I said, Wyoming County. She said, you're right. And she's one of the sweetest kids I've ever seen in my life. She really is. They all are good people. They really are. They have a little trouble here, but I mean, you know, it's just getting rid of some things. That, oh, just things that happen to people, Bob, as I used to go into it further than that. But that's where I am. So I'm within, you know, if I get out my AR-15, I can probably put around toward your house.
Let's not say that. There might be people who take that shit seriously.
You know, you're right. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, blame it on the drugs, Jim. Blame it on the drugs.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at Uncle Joe and who's running against him.
Oh.
Huh?
I know.
You're just been. Yeah, 1 second. Okay.
No fruit cup, Jim.
All right. 997. Anyway, so I'm sorry. But this, who is this guy running against Manchin?
Oh, Pill Push and Patty Morrissey?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a nice evening, lady. But anyway, so.
Yeah, I know you're in West Virginia. I just heard a woman call you honey.
Well, they're awfully nice people. They really are.
They are.
They're nice to be. And, but that nurse that I told Renee, she's the best one of all. But going back to this woman named Miller.
Oh, Carol Miller?
I've just lost track of all these people.
Well, she's another one of those evangelicals. She, you know, she won't tell anybody how she'll vote because she has to take it to the Lord in prayer first. And then, lo and behold, it always turns out that she votes, she and Jesus vote the way the Republican Party does. It's a damned fascinating coincidence.
Well, she's supposed to be a millionaire.
Oh, yeah. She's got enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of sopping wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills.
I hate this about, you know?
Pardon?
What the fact he made it?
I'm thinking cars.
Well, that'd be fine. Excuse me, as good a mess as any.
But,
I turned around and I voted absentee, and I had to keep old Joe. I didn't want to.
No, you don't want to, and you don't feel particularly good about it. I mean, we got one of those Coleman camp showers here, and I've filled it up with bleach, and I'm just leaving it out in the sun so it'll be nice and warm. And then, quick as I'm done voting for Joe, I'm going to come home and shower in bleach.
Bob, you're too high to be bleached. My God, you look like Michael Jackson.
Wait a damn minute. Hold on. Yeah, you get a cowbell for that. I'm sorry, you just do.
Thank you. Any approval is appreciated at this time of life. And
I don't think anyone has ever said on this program or any other, you'll be whiter than Michael Jackson, Jim. I don't think that's been said.
If you kept in a bleach, you would, knowing how tender your Nordic skin is. And by the way, how is your talented, vengeful, and lovely wife?
She is well and not to be trifled with, Jim. But that's just any day that ends in Y.
Well, I understand that. I can tell you that I've heard you mention that her prowess is considerable. And I did hear you talk with Tracy last night briefly. I have a laptop here, and I plugged on to the hospital's guest thingamajig, and so I could pretty much get most of them. Well, I just haven't been listening a whole lot because I haven't really felt like it too much.
I understand. I mean, we do give sick leave around here. It ain't paid sick leave, but we grant sick leave.
Well, that was interesting. Thank you. I appreciate that. asked Tracy's story about nursing the baby in the airport, however it was. Good Lord. Only Tracy.
Well, you know, I guess you're listening in headphones or something. I mean, we'd hate to have a horn club get started over there at the hospital.
No, actually, I'm listening to the telephone. Now, the headphones are way away from the...
No, but I mean, when you were listening last night and heard Tracy's story.
Oh, my God. Well, there she goes. And then went straight on back to the fact that she was going to the movies and picked something wonderful. You were talking about your Rich Day adventures Saturday week with your famous chili.
Oh, I'm totally psyched for it. I am. I'm just.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, you know, these are hard times. It's good, and it's getting harder to find something that can take your mind off of things. And I've heard when you get in the kitchen, you need an assistant because you don't clean up behind yourself. Now, I heard that.
No, before. No, that ain't true. I do too.
That's not what I heard. Well, I ain't gonna say. Okay, I'm glad you do. But my God, how long does it take you to make this stuff when you extract all this?
The chili is a multi-day affair. I mean, first of all, it's the better part of a day smoking the brisket. And then, you know, the chili sauce and all the other stuff can be gathered together in a day, but it's got to cook for a while.
I'll bet it does.
Because that's how all the flavors get married up.
I see. And then you're going to add the spices with the extraction of a red hot pepper and gunpowder. Was that what I heard?
Yeah. There's a little smokeless gunpowder, Jim. And
I think you cook with that stuff.
And a little lighter fluid just for flavor.
No, seriously, people used to cook with that stuff. I'm not kidding. I've seen this recipe book from the 18th century, and they used to use gunpowder. I don't know what for, but I said, oh, God, it must be something. But now you use a number of spices.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you look, you know, you'll find that chili powder is actually more than just ground chili pepper. There's other spices in there. So instead of using chili powder, I use its constituent ingredients and start off with, you know, well, you've seen them in the store, those great big dehydrated red chili pepper pods.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't, the skins on those peppers are undigestible. So what you do is you pop the little stem ends off and you shake the seeds out.
Uh-huh.
And then you rehydrate them in boiling water and leave them sit for about 30 minutes or so, and they get plumped up again. And then if you know what a Foley food mill is,
you said Foley last night. I was thinking of a Foley bag, but no, I
know. No, different Foley. That's from the distaff side of the Foley bunch. No, a Foley food mill. It looks like a saucepan, but it's got some little brackets on the bottom, and it's got a sieve bottom, and it's got a crank handle that turns a piece of wire. And turns a sort of cantilevered blade, and when you put food in it, it grinds it and pushes it through the sieve. So
I haven't seen one of those things in years.
Well, they're right handy.
Well, yeah, they are. My mother used to have one.
And so if you want to make anything and you don't want blackberry jam, but you don't want the blackberry seeds. Foley food mill, or in this case, you want to make chili sauce, but you don't want the chili skins and the chili seeds and stuff. That's how you do it. And so, you know, by the time I'm done, I'll have like a gallon of red chili sauce, and then you start hitting it with the garlic, and the cumin, and the turmeric, and then of course there's onions and And you wind up with the, and because we're using, you know, you use the brisket, the whole origin of this, Jim, was to try to come up with something that was fairly close to the original chili mole that the indigenous people made.
I see. I hope the O-rings around the container of this stuff being pulled out.
I'll be using a stock pot with a steel bottom that's folded steel, like the way the Japanese swordsmiths made the katana swords, because otherwise it'll eat through it.
Okay. Well, that is a powerful stuff. Now, when do you plan to eat this wonderful stuff?
Well, I figure we're going to have enough that we're going to be eating it all week.
You going to take it down to Bridge today with you?
I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do it, but we may.
Well, you know, if you should see somebody that you really dislike intensely, and they're standing close to the edge of that bridge, just fart, let one go, and it'll knock him right off into the gorge.
You afford me more faith in my powers than I actually have. But there are a lot of beans in the chili, Mongo. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, God. You know, Bob, I love chili, but I can't stand the beans in them. I just never could stand beans chili with beans. I have to use everything you've got except the beans. I don't know. What kind of beans do they use? I've forgotten now.
Well, a lot of people use kidney beans. I don't. Okay. Again, I was trying to get back to a recipe that would at least closely mimic things from a bygone era, and I use a type of bean that's been cultivated in the Valley of Mexico for about the last 3,000 years.
It's called
it's called a Mayacoba.
Where do you find these?
Oh, they got them. They got them in the stores. They got them at Kroger and Wally World now. Used to be kind of hard to get, but
they don't call them. Since I don't shop for beans, tell me, what are they called in Krogerian?
Mayacoba, Mayacoba. It's a little yellow bean.
Oh, okay. I've learned something tonight. I didn't know they had them.
I've been finding them at Kroger's for about 3 years now.
They always have whiskey. And both of them like
not my Kroger. Kroger didn't get the liquor contract over here.
You know, I have not had a drink or smoked a cigarette in all this time.
Jumping, Jehoshaphat! You'll
bother me a bit.
Well, under the circumstances, maybe not. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't have any cravings. And stuff like that. You know, it's just funny. Some people say they crave it, and some people, they have problems sort of because of it. But when I get back home, God willing, first thing I'll do is blaze up.
If you've kicked the filthy habit, stay kicked.
I don't care. I've enjoyed it. I do. And, you know, if I see that pack of Marlboro Light 100s right there and that lighter, it just says, Jim.
Oh, but Jim, they're gonna be bad stale now.
No, they're sealed. They sealed. I left a couple packs.
What'd you do? Put them in the freezer before you left?
Mm-hmm.
You are a damn reprobate is what you are.
Well, incorrigible.
Yeah, let's get all the good words out. You are an incorrigible reprobate.
Well, if you're going to do something, at least be good at it. You know, I mean, for God's sake.
Don't half-ass it. No.
No, why not? But you know, getting back to the serious thing, this business with that Supreme Court justice and that girl who. Now, somebody is saying that she spent, wasn't she, did she have some type of fear of flying?
Yeah, she doesn't like to fly.
Okay. And when she went to that area, she was coached by a woman who was a retiree from the FBI.
No, she, and it's all a disproved baloney conspiracy theory, but no, they're saying she coached a woman for her polygraph for her FBI entrance 24 years ago.
In Rehoboth.
I guess in Rehoboth Beach, which the woman apparently had no idea how to pronounce. Yeah. Rehuha, what, huh? Yeah.
That is a wonderful boy beach, let me tell you. Good Lord. Whew, excuse me.
Well, the gay community of the Horn is taking notes, Jim. I want you to know.
Certainly is. And anyway, I said, well, at the Rehoboth, I think, well, now, is this, are these two women who are allegedly learning how to beat the lie detector, are they lesbians or gay people or something like that? Because, you know, Rehoboth does have that reputation.
Well, I don't think that entered into it, but by God, if it's out there, Sandy Rios will turn it into some sort of a smear, I have no doubt.
Well, don't be surprised if you don't hear that, I guarantee you. Now, if they said Fire Island or Montauk, whoa, there you go. Kaboom. But anyway, I just wonder what that, so, and this is one of Donald Trump's supernumeraries who's saying all this stuff?
They're a bunch of right-wing conspiracy peddling broadcasters and podcasters and what have you.
Yeah, well, they've had a real, like a triple freeway in employing people and disemploying people between Fox and the White House, have they not?
No, it's a rotating door. Revolving door.
Because one went to Fox and came from Fox to the White House, and there was a third party involved too, correct?
Well, and now Hope Hicks is going over to what's left of Fox since Disney bought the valuable parts.
I see. I wonder if they're going to continue to be, Donald Trump's.
The parts that Disney didn't buy are the parts that will remain the house organ for the Trump regime.
My Lord, I'll tell you. You know, I hate to tell you this, Bob, but this chance of a blue wave this month, next month, it looks kind of, it's rather dim. It does, because, I mean, you were counting seats in the House the other night. All right, you got through with six from California. How many did you get up and finally end up with, possibly?
Well, I mean, we need 23. I think there are... there's a decent chance of sweeping California. That's six.
Right, I remember that.
And that leaves 17 more to be picked up. That's not to say that that it may not happen. I mean, for instance, I'm sitting here looking at a story right now. Out in Kansas, where Sharice Davids. Is a candidate on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah.
She's running for the House of Representatives. And a local GOP party flack couldn't resist getting on social media, on Facebook. The guy's name is Michael Calney, and if he's from the suburban Kansas City, Kansas area. It's a nice area. And he referred to Sharice Davids as, quote, a radical socialist kickboxing lesbian Indian.
Wow.
and said that she should be sent back to the reservation.
Wow, that's kind of, that's quite a name. That's what he called her?
A radical socialist kickboxing lesbian Indian.
Well, you know, maybe he needs to meet her in a dark alley one night.
I imagine he might pray God he doesn't.
I would think he would, but I would love to see him do that and for her to know that.
And she's running, and she's running against a maggot by the name of Kevin Yoder. He's the incumbent, Representative Kevin Yoder, in the 3rd Congressional District of Kansas. And Yoder's spokes creep, executive director, he's the executive director of the Kansas GOP. They both jumped in and said, we don't agree with what he said. We don't like it. Bad. But yeah, he said she should be sent back packing to the reservation.
I see. And these women are just examples of abject lubricity. When's the last time you heard that word, lubricity?
Actually, it was you weren't here, but it goes back to when Michael Eric Dyson at Aretha Franklin's funeral got a hashtag trending, in which he referred to Donald Trump as a lugubrious leech.
Okay. Where I picked it up from is what William Randolph Hearst used to say about Mae West. He did everything he could to drive her off the stage. Even one of the better headlines of one of the Hearst papers was, "When will Congress do something about Mae West?" Old droopy drawers down there at San Simeon carrying on all kinds of stuff. With all his artsy-fartsy wonders, with highest ketchup bottles on the table at the banquet hall, but he just despised Mae West. I thought Mae West was just brilliant. Can you imagine her if she were alive in politics today?
Oh my God.
We need her back. Oh God, we need a lot of her back. But I'll tell you, I've never ever get tired of watching her movies and stuff. I always pick up something new when I realize that she wrote most of her own dialogue. I didn't mean to get off on me, but, you know, you were describing these names, and, you know, it's just amazing the names that they will come up with to call people. And I wonder what good that really thinks that it, I wonder if they really think, does it do any good?
Well, it depends on it.
If someone were to call me, "You flying faggot," or whatever, I've had so many all my life, I don't give a shit. I just say thank you. But it's just almost laughable when you get into the business of this name calling that they're into. I mean, when I watched those proceedings to evaluate the current, what's his name, who got put on the Supreme Court, I've even forgotten the damn guy's name, and that girl, I could see those guys who were on the Council of Trent getting into them, at least part of them I call the Council of Trent, and they were muttering all kinds of nasty stuff under their breath. I mean, you talk about the howling of wolves. Some of those people on that council, like Lindsey Graham for one, and then that old fart who was chairman of it.
Oh, Chuck Astley?
Now he's from First District, Texas, correct?
No, Grassley, no, we're talking about senators here. No, Grassley's just
I'm talking about Okay.
Yeah, Grassley, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is from Iowa.
I see. Well, Lindsey Graham had his, had his hoof and mouth for the whole thing. I couldn't tell who he, where he was speaking from.
Oh, I think his corset was just tied too tight.
You think so? Now, I understand that Lindsey is thinking about when he leaves the Senate, he's going to become the tag in SC.
The what?
The tag. The National Guard.
No, I mean, all the rumors I've heard is that he's lobbying for the Attorney General position when Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III gets fired after the midterms.
Well, that might be after he is.
And then. Right.
Lindsey wants to call the opposite. Now, he really wants to. He wants to leave an impression. He does.
And see that, and the way the thinking goes is that after Lindsey gets to be AG, then Nimrata Haley will run for his Senate seat.
Well, yeah. And you know, she will probably get it. Guarantee you. I don't like what she says. I never have liked her as a person, but politically she is a formidable enemy. She really is.
Oh, and by the way, going back to the blue wave and vote counting, I just got a note from Lee in New York. The large number of Republican toss-up House seats mean that a Democratic House is far from unlikely as long as Democrats vote. And I would add to that, as long as Democrats are allowed to vote.
Well, you're right there. Absolutely. Because there's a lot of discriminatory practices in play, and they have been in play, oh, God, ever since I can remember. I mean, ever since 2000, it's been a lot of nasty stuff. And then the most recent election, of course, that's another good example of how, you know, options have been stolen. And, you know, really people, I don't care what Donald Trump says he's done, if it's that and the other, where it's the taxes or... And what people don't realize when he talks about taxes, that tax reform, it's got a sunset clause in it. It ends in, what, 3 years for people? And it doesn't for the corporations?
Right.
Well, hell, they don't even know that. Well, he lowered my taxes. And I just would tell them, I said, do you not realize that that's going to be gone in 3 years? What do you mean? Well, you may be exempt the first five, but, or four, or whatever, but the corporations will have their tax liability, they will keep their that no tax liability section of the law. And they don't know that. I don't think half of them.
No, they're just MAGA. They're just, you know, we're winning, MAGA. Of course, that might change with those 24,000 laid off workers.
Could be.
And
could
if
be.
the market takes another dive tomorrow and creeps each day in its petty pace.
We got 890-something points, didn't it today?
Yeah, and see, there's that ain't no correction.
No, it's not.
And there is, you know, there's some ugly shit out there in the offing, no doubt about it, Jim.
I know. I remember 2007. That was a hellish year. It was for a lot of people. So was 1986 or 1987.
Yep, I remember them both.
Kill my father. Yes, Lord have mercy. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, but nobody will admit the fact that we are no longer really respected by anyone in the world unity, as far as world unity is concerned, that we are, in fact, a total pariah in most nations of goodwill. And the only nations that we can see to try to hook up with are people like North Korea, or maybe some type of Iran government that wouldn't be too nice to deal with. And, you know, he's really tickling the Chinese beard quite heavily, don't you think?
He's pulling at things that he don't want to find the end of.
No, he does not, because those people, they can outlast anybody. If anybody can, they will, and they are. But, you know, I didn't want to get off on him, because every time I see him, I just kind of get a little case of the phantoms. But hell, what can you do? But anyway, you know, but the stars continue to march in their courses and the planets continue to revolve until maybe Uranus decides to go crazy and hit one of us on the head of the Earth. Maybe Uranus will come out of this orbit. I mean, what can I say? I don't know. Well, like just, or it's just Cortez in his book, La Vida Siguió Como Antes, said life is continued as before. I don't know. But it does look kind of dim when you look at that report they've ignored by the government that's telling us about 13 years or it's too late for climate control and the problems that will cause. And I guess when they have to use rowboats to get into their Senate chambers, I'm sure they'd find some way to make Washington a real attraction when the streets began to fill with water. Well, at least no more metro.
Not unless you plan to jet ski through it.
Well, that's true too, because I remember what happened in New York when that storm hit down, when it was just really ugly. Well, look, I hope you have a good time on the bridge day. You are going to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a week from Saturday, but yeah.
You don't feel uncomfortable up there?
Nah. No, I mean, I'll be honest. When it's at its height, it can get a little claustrophobic out there when there's a couple of 100,000 people on it.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. And thank God they're not a group of soldiers marching in time. You know, because, you know, when soldiers cross a bridge, they go into route step. Because if they cross a bridge, not that bridge, but any bridge they go across, if they go in marching formation, that can bring a bridge down. It has.
Yeah, the vibrations?
Mm-hmm. Sure will.
Well, that thing's engineered to sway up to seven or eight feet side to side in hurricane force winds, so.
Sweetheart, I've been in a building in New York and did that. And I could tell you one thing. That is no fun.
Oh no, I've been on the bridge when it took to shaking, and it's not an inspiring moment.
No, I've heard you talk about that.
But it's a mile. It's about a mile across, and you know, you walk across or you don't walk, whatever, or you go out halfway, and there's so many booths and. Then the chili cook-off is that day in Fayetteville, and then there's the concert that night. I mean,
are you going to enter it?
No. I don't know. It's probably too late.
I don't know. They're looking for people at the last minute, you know. You never could take I don't know how much you'd have to use. You'd probably lose your whole
lot. You'd have to make about 10 gallons.
Nah. I would do that for any damn body, not for whatever call they have, you know. But that'll be a lot of fun. Are you going to take the whole family with you when you go, the whole brood?
Well, as many as want to go.
I couldn't help but laugh when you talked when Agnes was in the store years ago. She said somebody asked her all those children were hers.
Oh, that wasn't once. That happened all the time, Jim. And the thing,
really?
I mean, because you know, people don't think, they just walk up and say, "Are all those yours?" No, we just pick them up out of yards.
Yeah, I got. Yeah, they're all sale down there.
There's another couple of dozen at home.
really. Yeah. How's Ferg doing?
Hi, he's doing pretty good. He's doing pretty good. He, he went down and he auditioned for American Idol, and you know he didn't win, but they did ask him for another video that he sent him, and so who knows what might happen.
Now, where did he go?
Well, they had American Idol auditions down in Charleston back in September.
Oh, okay, that's how they do that stuff. So he left the tape.
Well, no, he went down and auditioned for him live, and then they wrote him back and said they wanted another video. So you know,
well, you know, this year's drumming might be next year's hit tune. You never can tell.
There you go. Exactly.
That's the way Dollar Dinette got started.
Well, yeah, and
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
She's one of my favorite people. She is indeed. You tell Ferg if he gets over there, don't ever start wearing those big blonde wigs. We can't do that now.
No. I don't think we have to worry about him going through a Ziggy Stardust phase or anything.
Okay. Well, I'm really happy that he's got that chance. I'm sure that's gonna. I mean, I've heard him play at certain times. He seems to be quite good. I think he's a little shy to play on the radio, but the two that I remember here, you were around Christmas or anything like that.
Yeah, but he's played out in a couple of bars here and there, and he's getting over the shyness. Getting over the shies.
Well, that's a big obstacle to overcome. Let me ask you one more thing before we go. How was Vet Roots Nation? That's the long I have.
It was a fantastic get together. There was a lot of good energy there, and a lot of people doing good activist work. Got to talk to some really fascinating folks, and moreover, I also, you know, ate like I was in New Orleans, so it was a win all the way around.
Well, very good. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go. Do you mind if I listen to the rest of your program before? Can you leave it open?
Yeah, I'll leave you on that line, and you can hang up whenever you want to.
Okay. Well, listen, everybody, it's nice to talk to you. Happy fall, and hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas and a Happy Halloween, of course, and Happy New Year.
Yeah,
I didn't get them in order, did I? Sorry.
That's okay. We all remembered what happened the one time you bit the vampire in the neck. Yeah, never mind.
Count Dracula. As a matter of fact, I've been hearing a number of phrases you use. You use Count Dracula, and also, of course, I appreciate your comment.
Titanic Tuesday is all yours, Jim. I'll put you back on hold.
Thank you, sir. Good night.
Take care. Glad to hear from you. I've been worried about Jim, but that's our buddy Jim calling from an undisclosed medical facility somewhere Beckley-ish. About 12 minutes before the hour, I do have some thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly to John. Thank you, John, for taking us down to 450 to go this evening. And thanks to Earther. Everybody talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain, going where the weather suits my clothes, banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on a summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Harry Nilsson, I think. Yeah, so that takes us down to $447 to go this evening. Thank you, Earth. Thank you very kindly. Maybe you and John could get a little company here as we move toward the end of the program. Let's run over and see what's up with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Well, hot diggity damn, Uncle Bob.
We got you in here after all.
No, that's all right. It's good that Jim is upright and above ground. And I knew that he has been for some time because we hooked up on Facebook a while back.
Oh, okay.
And we have little, he comments on some of my posts, and we have a grand old time. I am surprised, though, at his choice of drag names. I would have thought that he would have done a tribute, given an homage to one of the notorious, and I'll spell the surname, S-C-H-I-T-T, German derivation. I would have thought he would give an homage to one of the notorious shit sisters who were drag performers some years ago, the most notorious of which was Giva Shit. And she was just something. She was a star. She was a star in a very special firmament in female impersonation in the annals. Or is that the annals? The annals.
Annals, of, damn it.
of drag performing history. But anyway, I'm glad he is, Jim is still with us. So how did you describe him? A reprobate.
An incorrigible reprobate, and proud of it.
Incorrigible reprobate, and let's not forget colorful. I am always bowled over, as it were, by some of his expressions. And about Mae West, and I don't know when she started it, if it was toward the end of her life or the last 30 years of her life or whatever, but she was kind of a health fanatic in terms of her diet and practices and stuff.
Well, she certainly outlived Fields.
Well, yeah, but that wouldn't take much. I mean, he had enough gin in him to...
they didn't have to embalm him. I mean, he was pre-pickled.
I mean. But no, Mae was into very exotic health approaches, one of which was coffee enemas.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, I remember years ago, one of the Jackson sisters was interviewed talking about she liked the coffee enemas because they, and we still laugh about this, Agnes and I, because we heard it together, because the coffee enemas removed the sad cells.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. Has that finally been proven beyond a shadow of medical doubt?
Well, I mean, you don't see the Jackson sisters walking around frowning now, do you?
Yeah. Well, the Starbucks truck needs to pull up to the White House. Or
With a goddamn fire hose. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, to some of these Trump rallies. Now, what is the deal with these people? Have they no capacity for happiness or satisfaction? They have the House. They have the Senate.
It's all tied to, you know, him.
Yeah, but they have the House. They have the Senate. They have two brand spanking new horrible Supreme Court justices. They have him in the White House. They have the vast majority of radio and TV, so-called news media. Yet you'd see the group pictures of these people outside the Trump rallies, and there's not a bigger, more unhappy group, a bigger group of more unhappy, disgusted, disgruntled, angry, hateful people as you're ever likely to see. Now, what's the deal? Have they no capacity for happiness or satisfaction?
They're people who are only happy when they're angry.
Well, there you go. I was married to one of those. I certainly was. But let's not go there. The thing about the retaking the House and whether conditions and prospects and forecasts are favorable or not favorable, it all ultimately comes down to 435 House districts, okay? Now, X number of them are already Democratic. X number are already Republican. Held by someone who's in a rather weak position because they're on the outskirts of a highly Democratic city or town or whatever. We're only talking about 23 seats, okay? And it's just a numerical fact that, hell, California will provide at least 6 or 8 of those 23 seats, maybe even more, in terms of shifting them from held by GOP to held by a Democrat come the end of this cycle. There are probably three dozen large metropolitan areas that on the outskirts there are Republicans in a House seat that could easily be turned Democratic. So I'm not underestimating the outcome. I'm not being overly optimistic, but I'm definitely not ruling it out, even close to being out. My constitution of my inner being says it's foolish to throw in the towel when we've got, what, 4 weeks to go, thereabouts, until the damn midterm.
Oh no, it's not time for any towel throwing.
Yeah, or even to get. See, this is the time to double check and double check to make sure people are registered and that they are stay registered, okay, and that people have a game plan for not only the run up to Election Day, but Election Day itself. You know that they've got their transportation sorted out, that they know who they're taking with them, and that those people are having their friends go as a group. That there's just no, that's the angry mob, which is not a true description of people going out to vote. But if you're going to have a mob, let the mob be, at least in the abstract, the people who want a course correction, who think that, Trump in charge and the Democrats with a lock on the House, that time has gone, that we're not going that way no mo, okay? So that's just my little epistle. Now is not the time to get frantic or second guess yourself. We've been on the fucking right track for some months now. Let's stay on that right track. Oh, and I've got a heads up for Jim. And yeah. You tried. In terms of the Marlboro Light 100s or whatever it is that he smokes, if you put them down for any amount of time, just let them go. If you must do anything, switch over to Nicorette. Now, granted, you can't keep it lit, okay? But it will give you a nicotine fix without all of the nasty.
Yeah, but as long as, and I don't mean to just talk about, but once you're that far clean, any urges are strictly psychological urges, not chemical ones.
Yeah, that's true. But see, the thing is, and you're a cigarette smoker, okay, or have been. I think you still are. You sneak one every now and again. I guess we vary. The addiction and usage varies from person to person. But I have a sense that Jim and I were smokers. I was a smoker. I had been quit from like August of 99 until the early 2000s, like 2003 or 4, and had gone through a particularly rough patch in life and was tempted to pick up the smokes again. And instead, I picked up a box of nicotine gum, the Nicorette. Well, what happened was, and I won't say I got hooked on the gum, but I got habituated to using the gum to the point where I was going through at least 270-piece boxes a month. And that's one of the reasons I started smoking a pipe again, okay? And I've weaned myself down in terms of the gum usage by a factor of one-third and hope to be, if not nicotine gum-free, at least have it down to one of those 110-piece boxes a month. If I need to have it to some degree, I can live with that. Because that shit's almost expensive as cigarettes.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. I mean, if the point of, okay, you quit for your health, But then there's also the economic aspect of it. And, yeah, you're right. The nicotine gum, the nicotine patches, the, well, whatever, set you back almost as much as the cigarettes do financially.
Yeah, actually, out here it's not quite as bad because California, I think it's like $7 a pack for cigarettes, which is, to me, that's crazy. That's just madness. But I understand the reasoning behind it, and there is a good purpose to be served by it. But even so, I mean, the nicotine gum didn't used to be quite as expensive. And actually, truth be told, for a long time, I used to get, what was it, the Target brand of nicotine gum, which cost about roughly $30 less a box, but they changed the formulation. It used to be just like the nicotine original flavor, the little squares, but now they're rectangular, and they've done something to the formulation, and they're not the consistency consistency of them is different, and they get gooey, and for my purposes, I have to switch back to brand name. But I'm sending good energy to Jim that he rouse up the nurses and, you know, keeps pissing vinegar and stuff. Well, no, that wouldn't be good at his age. Stays full of piss and vinegar, if that works.
There we go. Well, we got to get out of here, Scott.
We so often do. I should have called earlier, but I didn't, so... But anyway, you take care, Bob.
Well, I'm gonna try. Enjoy the pipe.
I will leave you with this thought. And yes. You talked the other day about the bridge and about the bungee jumping. And you and Tracy were going back and forth about the demographics of bungee jumping. I feel about bungee jumping the same way I feel about skydiving. Why jump off of a perfectly good bridge? So I'll leave you with that.
Or out of a perfectly good airplane. Exactly.
Exactly. Yep. Bingo. All right, Bob.
All right. Take care, Scott. Later.
You too. Bye.
Our buddy Scott in San Diego. Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in this prayer meeting Wednesday. The deacons walked the deacons trundled their stubby little legs right off. Well, ain't a little, but you know what I mean. And we find ourselves with $447 to finish fundraising. That means that tomorrow will be $647, looking toward a Friday goal of $847. Whew, that's frightening. Because that's kind of how not to have a radio program anymore. Hopefully it changes between now and tomorrow. But thanks, everybody, for joining in. Thank you for sharing your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.